Good evening, everybody. Tonight's class is dedicated by one of our more generous regular sponsors, Mr. Isaac Schwecki. And we're proud to announce to all the people in Tape Land his Torah dedication ceremony, which will take place Sunday, November 21st, 9 a.m., leaving from Mr. Schwecki's house at 1828 East 3rd. That's 1828 East 3rd, 9 a.m., and they'll be going to B'nai Yosef for the ceremonies, and then the Sefer Torah will be flown to Eretz Yisrael to Mikdash Melech Yerushalayim. It's a very happy event for the family, and Mr. Schwecki and his family would like everybody to come and attend and enjoy Lichvod HaTorah.
Okay. We have a misconception about tefillah. In fact, we have a lot of them. Prayer is a thing a lot of us do, but a lot of us don't do it well. It's a thing we're all involved in that we understand very little about. And so I want to focus not on all of it, because you can't do it in one shot. I want to focus on an aspect that was highlighted from this week's parasha. And by focusing on that, you know, the interesting story this week of Esav and Yaakov and selling the birthright and the blessings, and very few people discuss this simple point, which is very deep. It says that Yitzchak got married. He married Rivka, and they didn't have children. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, no children. So Yitzchak takes the course that most of our patriarchs would take. He prays, and the scene is described lenochach ishto. Nochach usually means opposite. So the Midrash tells us one stood in one corner, one stood in the other corner, and they prayed. Rashbam was Rashi's grandson. He says Lenochach means Bishvil, Be'ad, for the sake of. He prayed so that she would have a baby. And he was answered, and they had twins, they had Yaakov and Esav. Why did he take that approach? He says to himself as follows. He prayed on behalf of his wife because he knew he was going to have children. He was married 20 years without children. How did he know? He knows because Abraham told him, listen, Hashem promised me a great nation, and he promised me through my offspring, and my offspring is going to come through you. So he knew for sure he's having children, but he prayed for Rivka because he wanted his children through her, not another woman. So actually, although it looks like he's praying for both, which he was, his emphasis was on her. So the Rashbam teaches us he prayed for someone else to have success, and he was answered, which is one of the principles our rabbis teach us. If you have a need and you pray for someone else with a similar need, then Hashem will answer your prayer also. Your prayer not only for the other person, your prayer for yourself. It's a fantastic concept. I told this to somebody once, that's why I should pray for my competitor to do well. Why not? Hashem has plenty. He can do well and you can do well. Nothing wrong with that. I should pray for somebody else to get married. I'm a single girl. So what? You're not both going to get married? Pray for her to get married. Hashem will let you get married. And that's a concept called tefillat hazulat, praying for somebody else. Not at this point. I have to get more in. Okay. It says, it's okay. It says, Hashem is mit'aveh. He has a desire for the tefillot of tzaddikim, tefillatan shel tzaddikim. He wants to hear prayers from the righteous. So there's two questions there. He wants to hear prayers from the righteous. Where do we learn it from? We learn from the fact that he made our matriarchs barren, Sarah, Rivka, and Rachel, all had trouble having children. Leah was the only one who got pregnant right away for a different reason. And their husbands and they prayed. And eventually they had children. From there we learn Hashem desired the prayers of Tzaddikim, because we say, why would he put people through such changes? So the answer to the Gemara is he wants them to pray. If we learn this as adults, not children, it's not just a slogan for a bumper sticker. It's not just an epithet for Reader's Digest, Avdil. It's Chazal talking to us to tell us something very, very deep. What is he telling us? He's telling us as follows. We have it backwards. We think we have a problem, therefore we pray. Hashem answers our prayers and the problem goes away. I need a wife, I need a child, I need money, I need. I pray to Hashem, Hashem answers. I have a good batting average. I don't think he answers 100%. Somebody says he always answers. Sometimes he answers no, because he knows what's best for you. But you pray for something that you're worthy of. You pray for something that he feels is good for you, he will answer you. So we get the candy machine type of mentality. When I want something from Hashem, I put in a quarter, I press the number, and I get my pretzels. That's candy machine. I talk to Hashem to get from him what I want. Well, the truth of the matter is you do, but it's deeper than that. Hashem wants you to pray. So he creates situations of need so that you will pray. He makes, when people are sick, don't people pray? So we say, well, a person's sick, we should pray to make him better. That's true. But you never think of it, maybe Hashem wanted prayers, so he made someone sick. Now, why would he do that? He's not a sadistic God. He's a very kind, giving God. So why is it the system works this way? It's a good question. Probably half as good as his question, but we're not up to his question yet. The question is, why would Hashem make it work that way? Why would he make it, we have needs that he created so that we'll pray to him so fulfill it? What does the word olam mean? Melech ha-olam? The world, the universe, olam, creation. Everything that was created is in the olam. There's olam hazeh, this world, and there's the next world. Olam means the total picture of existence. Olam. But Lashon HaKodesh is fabulous. It's not that one day, 700 years ago, three Greeks got together and said, un, uno, un, whatever they said, means one. And du, dos, du, two, means two. Those are by agreement. People agreed, one, two, three, means one, two, three. If they said 1, 2, 4, we would be children learning it, and we would learn 1, 2, 4, and 4 means 3. It's by consent that languages develop. I look at somebody and say, black. He goes, black. All of a sudden, everybody's calling this black. Black has no meaning, except that's what we call it. Right? This is black, right? You agree too? Yeah, you're part of the world. But really, in Lashon HaKodesh, in the holy tongue that Hashem made, words have meaning beyond what we use them for. How do you say a man disappeared? He disappeared. Ne'elam. He disappeared. He hid. Ne'elam. It's the same letters as olam. To teach us that this world is a place where Hashem is hidden. Does he exist? Yeah, he exists. He exists here, there, and everywhere. Is he in this room? Yes. Is he out on that street? Yes. Is he up in heaven? Yes. Is he down below the sea? Yes. He's everywhere. Do we see him? No. We don't see him. He's ne'elam in the olam. The name of Hashem that's on every mezuzah. Shin, Dalet, and Yud, which is pronounced Shad, Dai. That's really a condensed word, contraction, we call it in English. Can't is can, and not is can't. Do not is don't. Shaddai is made up of several words. She'amar le'olamo dai. That he said to his world, enough. What does that mean? Well, I went to the planetarium and I heard about the Big Bang Theory, and they're off base, of course, because Hashem created the world in 6 days and the seventh day rested, as the Torah says, and that's what we believe totally and honestly. So this Big Bang Theory, why do I say it's somewhat valid? It's valid in concept. That Hashem was existing. He decided to create a physical existence. He started on that spot under that golden dome in Jerusalem called Dome of the Rock, because there's a rock called Eben HaShetiyah there. And that rock was the first physical existence ever. And from there he expanded and he expanded and he expanded and he expanded creation into trees and animals and people and seas and angels and demons and all kinds of things. For those of you in Tape Land, that's a siren. We're in New York City. People out of town, they listen, they go, what is that? Not an emergency, we don't even flinch. So, and don't look behind you, there's not a cop chasing you in the car either. We're sitting very quietly here, everything's calm. Yeah, in the office of Kidstown. So, when did he stop? This expansion into galaxies, into universes, into planets, into stars. When did he stop? He said, die. At what point? Well, I don't know in distance, I don't know in size, but I can tell you in concept. He stopped at the point where if he made it any bigger, any more complex, the human being would be unable to recognize him. The world was just physical enough that you, David, and you, Joe, and everybody here on this planet would at some point of concentration, of development, of spirituality, be connected and say, there he is, I see him. That's Dai. Sha'amah, la'alam. So he created the world to hide from us in a situation where the world is now hide and seek, because he's hiding only so we'll find him and get reward for connecting with him and relating to him and living life as David HaMelech did. Since I have a lot of Davids in the room tonight, let's say David said, Shiviti Hashem l'negdi tamid. I have Hashem opposite me all the time. I'll give you an example. A guy gets a job. He had a lot of jobs. In most of his jobs, he was like anybody else. He worked for the boss, he put in his time. But also, if he had a few minutes, he'd click on the internet. If his wife or his girlfriend called up, he'd schmooze a little bit. If he wanted to go out tonight with the boys, he'd give a call to a couple of his friends. All on the boss's time. Why did he do that? Because the boss is not in the office with him. The boss is not there. The boss is not going to say anything. I get my job done at the end of the day. There's time for him. This time for me. The boss is smarter than that. The boss decides this is going to be a key employee. I'm going to train him the way I want, and I want to get 100%. I'm paying this guy too much already. And until he develops, he's overpaid and underworked. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put a desk in my office, right opposite where I sit, and let him sit there. He gets a call from his wife. Can't talk now. And he hangs up. His friend sends him an email, a joke. He doesn't read it. He might laugh. What the boss think he's laughing at? He's not laughing at the spreadsheet. Suddenly, because the boss is there, he works more. He behaves. And if the boss should get up to go get a cup of coffee, go out to lunch, that's when he plays. Cats away, mice will play. So Hashem says, the secret to life is to see me all the time. And David HaMelech translates that into a pasuk, Shiviti Hashem l'negdi tamid. I see, I compared my life to one opposite Hashem. And therefore, I'm always on my best behavior, I'm always trying to perform, I'm trying to achieve, I'm trying to grow, I don't waste time, I don't behave like a behemah, like an animal. I'm a fine, refined Jewish human being. That's what he wants. So now we see our approach to prayer changes. Hashem created a world. He created imperfect beings called people. He gave them needs and desires. And he said, if you want them, just ask me. But when we first opened up, it said, he wants the prayers of Tzaddikim, therefore he made them have problems. The question is, why Tzaddikim? Doesn't he want everybody's prayers? It's not a matter of quantity, it's a matter of the quality. What's the quality? He wants the best prayers he can get. And if Yitzchak Avinu, Alav HaShalom, is not praying, if David HaMelech is not praying, that's a big loss. That's like a big customer not buying. That's like somebody not putting in the order. But if Joe with the convenience store on the corner that does so much a day, and then he closes and he goes home, or the manager comes at night and he doesn't pay attention to the customers, that's not a big customer. So although we want the business, the boss doesn't spend his time focused on it. Hashem wants the tefillah of Tzaddikim because in quality they are better in his eyes. How? What makes a Yaakov Avinu, a Moshe Rabbeinu, a David HaMelech's prayers, or any Tzaddik living in the world today, what makes their prayers a better quality than the average Joe on the street? A. They truly believe they're praying to Hashem. We go to shul. We open the Siddur. We say the words. Are we praying to Hashem? Sometimes yes. Sometimes no. If we're honest, sometimes yes. We have them on our mind. We understand what we're doing. We know what we want. And sometimes no. And it's funny. In keeping with tonight's class, when we have a problem, we pray better. We're more focused. We're more dependent. And that's the first key. To be dependent on Him. To know it's Him. Rabbeinu Bachi was a Sephardic rabbi, lived about 1,000 years ago. He said, Tefillat Avot, the prayers of our patriarchs, Haita Matara, was the bottom line purpose. The fact that they were barren without children was the means to get to the end. The Rebbe from Kotsk is a very sharp wit. There's a pasuk we say every day, many times. Betzon yireav yaseh ve'et shavatam yishma v'yoshiyem. You want to look it up? It's asher shebetecha otresh. It's alphabetical, it's otresh. What does it mean? Betzon, the want, the desire of yireav, those who fear him, he does. Meaning God. Ve'et shavatam, and to their prayers, they're crying out, yishma, he listens, v'yoshiyem, and he brings salvation to their needs. Nice pasuk. Happens to be my name is Rachamim, and you're supposed to say a pasuk that begins and ends with the first and last letter of your name at the end of the Amidah. There's a sigula that people are going to go to heaven, they're going to ask him their name, and so as not to forget your name in fear or in being mixed up in Shamayim, you say this pasuk every day and you won't lose it. It comes right before the end of the Amidah. My pasuk is this pasuk. My name is Rachamim, starts with a resh. Yoshiam ends with a mem. So I translated it properly. Maybe it was an art scroll translation, but it was a good translation. The Kutzker says, but he has a question. I'll ask a good common sense person. Man over here on my right. If Hashem does what the person wants, he fulfills their desire, Because that's the Tzon Yirav Yaseh. So what's he praying for? The first half of the Pasuk tells us he did what you wanted. The second half of the Pasuk says you're crying out and praying, and then he gives you what you want. Hello, he gave you what you want. What are you praying for? So the Kutzker Rebbe says as follows. The Pasuk can be exposed as expounded as follow. The Sadiq, the person who's a righteous person, the one who's Yirei Av, fearful of Hashem, has fear of Hashem all the time. That person really accepts things the way they are. That person says, Hashem wants me to have this apartment, I have this apartment. He wants me to have a mansion, I have a mansion. He wants me to sing, I sing. He wants me to have good looks, I have good looks. He wants me to have a good year, I have a good year. He wants me to have an average, I have an average. I just go through the motions knowing Hashem's in charge. But do I need or want anything? I believe that what Hashem gave me is best. Good so far? So is this person ever going to pray? Probably not. I don't need anything, I don't want anything. Hashem supplies all that I need. So comes the Kutzker and says, you know what this Pasuk means? Ritzon Yireav Yaseh. Yaseh means he does. It also means creates. It also means makes. He makes David want something. He makes Joey, who has a perfect life, need something. He makes the person who fears him have a wish. Then that person will pray. Then Hashem answers them. Ritzon Yireav, the desire of his fearful, the one who fears him, he creates so that they will pray. And et shabbatam, when they do pray, Yishma, hears the prayer, v'yoshia. It's big chidush. I mentioned it to a couple of rabbis this week. Not too many heard it. You now have something to say over at your Friday night table. Hashem wanted the prayers of Yitzchak and Rivka because they were high quality prayers of the people who believed he's the one to do it. And so he gave them a need. No children. Ivan, we got married to build the Jewish people. Pray for it and I'll give it to you. He created a need. They prayed. He gave them Yaakov Avinu. Beautiful thought. But now we understand that our approach to prayer is backwards. We need because we're supposed to pray. You know, at the end of last week's parasha, you know what it says? Eliezer is bringing back Rivka, the girl he found, for his master's son, for Abraham's son Yitzchak. And Yitzchak is out in the fields, just about mincha time. And the rabbi tells, what was he doing? He was praying. He was praying, true. He prayed every day. Abraham prayed every day. Yaakov prayed every day. So what does Hashem have to make him akar for? Make him not have children? He's going to pray mincha every day. Because Hashem knew, if I give him a need, he'll become more intense. If I give him a problem, he'll turn to me. Because he's Yirav, he's one of the ones who fears me, who loves me, and who counts on me. There's an amazing principle that you have to cry out really believing he will answer before he answers. There was a great rabbi called Rabbi Salman Musafi. Sounds a little Sephardic, doesn't he? He was a great rabbi. He prayed on behalf of the public very often and did things we would call miracles. And one day one of his children became ill. His wife said, today's one of the days they take out Sefer Torah. Please pray for our child to get better. He went to shul. He came back. The boy still wasn't feeling well. It's only a few hours. So his wife said, did you remember to pray for our child? As a matter of fact, I did. So was it like everybody read Tehillim and you said Yiratzon, Refuah Shelema? He said, no, actually, when the ark was opened to take out the Torah, I silently prayed to Hashem in a whisper. He said, what? Wouldn't it be better if everybody prayed? He said, well, I figured this is a personal matter between me and him. And I'll pray to him and I'll tell him my desire, my wish, my need. And that would be sufficient rather than making a public display of it. So I don't know if that's so correct. He said, the Pasuk says, L'chol asher yikra'uhu ve'emet. To all those who cry out to him truly. I cried out to him truly. I'm sure he will answer. And that evening the fever broke and the child became well. What did that mean, be'emet? Truth. But how do you cry out to Hashem truly? Are you lying to him? From your heart, what does that mean?
Passion.
Passion is good. But the truth of the matter is, the truth means, I'm not praying to you because I'm supposed to pray. I'm praying to you because I truly believe you're the one that can do it. And it doesn't have to be situation hopeless, although when situation is hopeless, that also works. Vilna Gaon said, "Ki tidreshenu b'chol levavecha." It's part of a pasuk. It says, "Ubikashtem misham et Hashem Elokecha." You go to pray, and you'll seek out Hashem, your God. It's written in plural. Bikashtem. You'll seek out. All of you will seek Him out. Umatzata, and you individual, based on the syntax in Lashon HaKodesh, will find Him. Ki tidreshenu b'chol levavecha, because you will seek him with all your heart. Vilna Gaon says, why does the pasuk start in plural and end in singular? Why is that? He says, because many people pray, but only one or two or three special individuals do it with all their heart, with the proper kavanah, and the true belief that Hashem's going to do it. I often wonder when they have somebody, we get word, somebody's ill. And they say, okay, let's all read Tehillim. And you look around the shul, everybody's saying it. Well, most people are saying it. And when they hear, what's the situation? How is he? Oh, I heard it spread. I heard it's no good. Everybody starts talking. What is it? I'd say a good percentage of people don't believe this tefillah is going to help. But there are those who are reading it and praying, saying, because it's hopeless is why I'm praying. Because I know you can deliver. That's what prayer is about. That's called kavana. The Chazon Ish was one of those rabbis who really did nothing but study Torah and help people. And he helped people in a variety of matters that you would think you need a university education, a degree in medicine, science, business, etc. to answer these questions. But his Da'at Torah was so clear that he helped many, many people with those issues and always write on. He writes in one of his letters, Bechol pega, every time there's a blow, a wound, an accident, something bad happens, Hareni murgal lahazik et emuna, I became used to strengthening my emuna, my belief, my faith. Ki lo na'asa davar ba'olam b'mikreh, because I realize that nothing happens in this world by accident or coincidence. Rak al pi hashkachato yitbarach. Only through the divine providence and control of every detail of Hashem. V'areini mitametz b'tefillah, and I strengthen my tefillah, I put a lot of effort lahavir et hagezerah, to get rid of the gezerah, to get rid of the decree that's bad. Ulfichach, Hareni mityaches yudishtadlut kel pirov ein ishtadlut bedura. Most people don't put in the right effort, an effort, I don't know what it is, but I know when I pray as hard as I can, I know it can work, and I know it will work. In fact, he wrote in another place, the more you believe it will work, the more times it will work. The more you believe there's things you should do that Hashem doesn't take care of, the less it works. Prayer is at a point, you know, there's a famous Mishnah. This Mishnah is at the end of Masechet Sota, and it talks about the times of Mashiach, the age in which we are living. And it lists all the maladies of that age. It says, chutzpah, gall, brazenness, yisker, will become lofty. Almost praiseworthy in the eyes of people. And we see the brash football player gets a lot more attention and pay than the one who happens to just come out and do his job. A person who insults people on television gets big bucks. The one who speaks nicely, there's no shows about good news. It doesn't work. It says, "Pnei ador k'pnei kelev." John Kerry would like this one. The face of the generation will be like the face of a dog. What does that mean? Not that we're going to look around with long snouts like dogs. When you see a master walking with a dog, you see the dog runs ahead, and from across the street, it looks like the dog is leading the master. But every time he goes a few yards, he turns around and looks back. The face of the generation will be like the face of a dog, meaning the leaders will look to the polls before deciding what to do. The leaders will look to the masses. They won't lead, they'll follow. And that's not good, because a leader was created to lead and direct and teach the people what's right and show them what's right and get them to the true goal they should be reaching for. Something that's moral, something that's just, something that's gonna not take a poll and see what people think and then I decide what to do. But in that same Mishnah, on the list of things that are not the proper way the world should be, and when they get the inflation, brings up inflation, money won't be worth anything, tzaddikim will be poor and search for money and not find it, they won't have food to eat, all these things are happening. But in the middle it says several times, and what? We have no one to depend on other than our Father in heaven. When things are bad, that's where you turn. By the way, that's the simple meaning of the Mishnah. I saw the Rashi, that's beautiful. It says, why would that be on a list of bad things? That's a beautiful thought. We have nobody to rely on but Hashem. So why is that on a list of bad things? One rabbi explained, when we reach the point we think we have no blame and we have nothing to do, situation hopeless, like a lot of people feel about the Middle East, there's just no solution to this. People feel there's no possibility to solve the job of beating terrorism and people blowing up people for no reason. There's no hope. When people throw up their hands, that's a malady. You're sort of saying, Hashem, it's not my sin, it's not my teshuvah, I have nothing to do with it, it's you. Take care of it. So although we're supposed to count on him, we have to know that it reacts based on how we behave. And when we reach the point of not doing things properly, he finds a way to make us remember. The tzaddikim lived with Hashem in front of them. Tzaddikim lived with a concept and a clear picture that Hashem was controlling things. I'll tell you a story. Very simple example that each of you will think of a story afterwards that you could tell that shows you saw Hashem working. You saw Hashem working. You saw Him in this world of hiddenness, you saw Him. And that's what He wants. That's why the world was created, so we can earn reward, overcoming the distractions. And that's why it brings problems, so we will pray and relate to Him and see Him clearly. How do you see it in everyday life? How do you see it in everyday life? I went around last week, the city of Manhattan, New York, trying to collect money for an institution in Israel, very worthy institution, so much so that we walk around door to door. We have a list of people who help us. We go, we come, and we do. And the Rosh Yeshiva was in town. I took him around. So we go into a building. I think it was 10 West 33rd, as a matter of fact. And the rabbi, I tell the rabbi, who do you want to see next? He says, we got to go to 12. I get on the elevator. The door closes. I press 10. He looks at me and says, what are you doing? We got to go to 12. I said, don't lose your temper with me. I'll press 12. After it stops at 10, we'll be 1 minute difference. We'll go to 12. In fact, I think the door is up in this elevator about 12 seconds. People get on and off so fast. I said, but why'd you press 10? I said, I don't know why I pressed 10. I thought you said 10. I pressed 10. In fact, I reached for 12 and I pressed 10. The door is open on 10. I'm pressing closed door to get to 12. Who do I see there? One of my friends. I said, what are you doing in this building? He said, I have a new office here. You're in this building? Yeah, right over here. He tells me, who's the rabbi? So I've been working with him for about 20 years. We got a great institution. Come on in. We go in, we show him the pictures, we explain where we are, the budget, the crunch, what we're missing, what we need. He gives us a very generous donation. The rabbi smiles, tells him thank you, gives him a blessing. We go back to the elevator. I tell the rabbi, so where do you want to go now? He says, 12. One of my biggest clients. He gives us beautiful support every year. Let's go. We get on the elevator, we press 12, we get off on 12, we come to the front desk. Can we see Mr. Cohen, please? Oh, I'm sorry, he's overseas, he'll be back next week. I tell the rabbi, look, if we press 12, and we went straight to 12, the door don't open on 10, we don't see my friend, I have no ideas in this building, he goes down the elevator and out to lunch, even if I find out he's in the building, he's not around, and we miss. I think it was an angel who wanted you to get the donation to push my hand to 10. Hashem wanted you to get that donation from him. Not the man you came into this building to see, who you thought you're going to get a donation from. Was Hashem working then? How many times has it happened in your life? You missed the light, traffic, you think you're late, backs up, this, that, you go to the men's room, it's locked, you wait outside 2 minutes, you make a phone call, line's busy, you get through a couple of minutes later. Everything is controlled and planned by Hashem. When you believe that, like David HaMelech did, Shavit Hashem di Tamid, Tamid means always, and when you realize he's in control of everything, always, to every detail, now when you're praying to the one who's in control, in charge, your kavanah just went up 100%. Still, there's one question pending. He makes the prayers through a need. I can need a new car and I'll pray. I can need new shoes and I'll pray. Why do I have to have a problem in my business or a problem in my personal life or a problem with health or something emotional before I pray? And then he brings that to make me pray. Well, there's a principle that since the Beit HaMikdash has been destroyed, Beiti Beitifilah Ikarei Kol Amim, it was the place, it was a conduit. We picture a person praying in Brooklyn and prayers going straight to heaven. It's not the way it works. The prayers go across the ocean, they go to the place of the Beit HaMikdash, and then they go up a tube to Shamayim. The times of the Beit HaMikdash, that works fine. If you're in the Beit HaMikdash, it worked a little better than if you face the Beit HaMikdash, but everybody prayed in the direction, which we still do today. But since the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, Sha'areh Tefilot Nina'alu, the gates of prayer have been locked. So the man in the first row looks at me and says, so what are we praying for? It's a waste of time. What are you teaching me about prayer? If it's locked, it's locked. Safety deposit box, I don't have the key. So the same Gemara that teaches us that, was that your question? Because that was on your face. Good, I'm glad. It was on its face. It was like a seal going, ooh, ooh. But I got it. The same Gemara that teaches us Sha'are Tefilot Ninalum, or Sha'are Tefilah Ninalum, says Sha'are Dima'ot Lo Ninalum. The gates of tears were not locked. There's one way in, a prayer riding on a tear. And it brings us back to the same principle we started with. If you have a need, and that need is serious, your emotions become focused. When you have somebody that's not feeling well in the family, you call the office. The questions and answers are going to, it's habit. It's fulfilling my duty to my boss or my partners. But your focus is not there. And your heart is not there. Your heart is in the hospital with the person you're trying to bail out. So a problem focuses you. And if it focuses you to the point of tears, those tears are not just salt and water and whatever else is in a tear. It's your heart focused, being squeezed like a lemon to every drop of juice that's in you, not in your body but in your soul, to carry that prayer to heaven. And although Hashem said the people have been bad, I'm destroying the house of prayer, I'm locking the gates, that intensity, a merciful, kind God cannot deny. Sha'are Dima'ot Lo Ninalu. The gates of tears were not closed. There's a famous, famous book of Tehillim. Oh, there's only one Tehillim, Rabbi. No, I don't mean that. There's a very famous copy of Tehillim. It belonged to the Hafez Chaim's mother. She prayed every day that her son would turn out to be a good kosher Jew. A great Jew who will grow in Yirat Shamayim to whatever his potential could be. Many years after her death, they found her Tehillim in her house. It was an old Tehillim. They didn't know it was hers, but they brought it to the Chafetz Chaim. When the book of Tehillim reached his hands, he kissed it. Not once, not twice, many times over. And with tears in his eyes, those who were there heard him say, "Do you know how many tears my mother's eyes poured, Aleha Shalom, may she rest in peace, in this book of Tehillim? Every day, at the beginning of the day in the morning, she used to pray and cry that her child will be a good Jew, loyal to Hashem." Some think the Hafez Chaim came through a gift of intelligence. Some people say he came through hard work and study of Torah. Some people say he came from dedication to his people and his community. He did a lot of chesed worldwide. But nobody could deny that it was his mother's tears who got it accomplished. That's what got it accomplished. The tears were real prayer. Focused prayer. Prayer with intent. Prayer of a person who really believes that Kadosh Baruch Hu could do it. She believed it, and so it happened. She prayed with all her heart, and that was the result. And everybody has that potential in them. David said, with your heart. But with your heart means truly with your heart. Because Hashem knows the difference between sketch, scam, and everything like that. So when it says Va'avatem et Hashem Elokecha bechol levavecha, with all your heart, He knows how to measure the potential of your heart the potential of your heart and your heart to see if you are praying truly, believing, hoping, counting on, and subjugated to His power with all your heart. We have a question on the floor.
I hear a lot that, all right, what if a person is praying and they may not understand what they're reading? Like if they say something in Hebrew, is it as effective?
There's two parts to prayer. There's the prayer that's required, and a person who prays in Lashon HaKodesh, the language that you're saying this person doesn't understand, has a minimal requirement to understand the first blessing and to have intent in the first blessing of what he's saying. And the minimal requirement of prayer is to understand what you're saying, not to know the Kabbalah, not to feel it at that moment, but to at least understand what you're saying. And Baruch Hashem today, Sephardic Jews, Ashkenazic Jews, Russian Jews, Spanish speaking Jews, French speaking Jews, Chinese Jews have Sidurim printed linear, word for word, what you should understand. So I would suggest that a person pray and understand what they're saying. But I believe honestly that all those Sidurim are good and they're a great benefit to the community at large. But the proper thing to do is to read them when you're not praying. To read them when you're not praying, to read them when you have an opportunity, when you have an opportunity to study and understand. Once you do that, you can go back to your prayers, pray them in the proper language, and have an idea what you're saying, and fulfill your prayers in both stances. Prayers is acceptable in any language. So it would be better to pray in a language you understand and understand it than to pray in Lashon HaKodesh and not understand it at all. But if you can accomplish the study of learning it, that's not so difficult today. And a person who does it might have to answer after 120, how come you never learned?